And so this morning, hopefully you'll see the ways where our worship time flows into what I want to speak about this morning. As Zoe says, we're in this series, these thoughts that we want to recognize that as the people of God, that we are blessed by God. I think we'd agree that that is the case. Those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ have been blessed incredibly by God himself. And we've celebrated some of those things this morning. It's part of some of the songs, the declarations, the things that we've sung. We'd recognize that we are blessed. And therefore, as a consequence of that, we want to be a blessing. And there's this wonderful story back in Genesis 12, which is where this kind of idea comes from, right at the start of the Bible. And it's to do with this character, and a famous character in the Bible, Abraham. Says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So there's this sense that right at the start of God's plan, that with Abraham and now with us, that God's blessing doesn't stop with us, it doesn't sit with us, but it goes out from us, that we can be a blessing. And that's what we've been talking about, and I want to just build on some of that this morning. Before we do that, though, I don't know what you think the biggest story of the week is. Those of you following, I don't know where you go for your news these days. In the old days, you used to read newspapers, didn't we? They are still available, I understand now. I saw one at the airport the other week. But I guess we come across our news in other ways. The thing that grabbed me, and I was talking to a few people about it, was the story about KFC. Did anybody see the KFC story this week? If you missed it, it's the fact that KFC, which you know what KFC stands for, right? Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, this week KFC ran out of chicken. Yes, that's right. So it's I guess it's probably quite significant if you are a chicken retailer and you don't have any chicken. Quite important. And of course, these stories, I know they are serious, but you have to sometimes smile at some of the news reports. There was a tweet from the Metropolitan Police saying this, said, please do not contact us about the KFC crisis. It is not a police matter if your favourite eatery is not serving the menu that you desire. So apparently there have been a few complaints and people had involved the police in this serious issue. And I guess, you know, if you'd spent the whole of your day planning on eating at Kentucky Fried Chicken and you got there and found that it was closed, maybe that is quite important, but not something that the police really wanted to get involved in. In the end, of course, they've resolved the issues, and I think most of the KFC stores are open now. And KFC posted a slightly amusing note. I think this was on their website, and they said this: some chickens have now crossed the road. The rest are waiting at the Pelican Crossing. So it seems that they were willing to have a bit of a smile at their own expense. And they also said, we're updating this as regularly as we can, and our teams are working around the clock to get the rest back up and running as soon as possible. So maybe one of their biggest stories of the week. Of course, there are other more serious issues, I know, going on in the world. So whatever the biggest story is for your week, then the story, and Zoe's mentioned it, that we've been talking about is our story, but also how our story is impacted by the story, the message of Jesus Christ, the story that we've talked about, we'll continue to talk about. You've heard it this morning. If you're a guest with us this morning, you've already had a pretty good summary of what this message looks like as we take communion together. And as Janet read that reflection, that passage, that story, that interpretation of the message of the gospel, we've heard it in this morning. And I don't know about you, but we should never get tired of hearing this wonderful story, should we? I can't remember who it was. I heard someone who was talking recently, and they said that the people who have they've been a follower of Jesus for many, many, many years. The secret to being a follower to Jesus for many, many years is never, ever getting tired of the fact that we are saved. And for those of us, some of us in the room have been following Jesus for a long, long time, and we won't have a show of hands this morning, but some of us have, that's our position, that's where we've been. We've followed Jesus for some of us more of our life than we haven't. And the secret, I think, to following Jesus and continuing that relationship is never, ever getting tired of the fact that we are saved. Amen. And therefore this message, and Zoe says, last week when we were together in our Sunday meeting, we looked at the passion that we want to have for the good news. You know, we never want to get tired of it for ourselves, but we also never want to get tired of sharing the good news, this good news that we have. And we talked about the opportunities that we have as church, as followers of Jesus, to share the good news with other people. And we've reminded ourselves the last 2 weeks of the power and the importance in this gospel. You know, it's not just any old story. It is the story. It's not just a nice story. It is the story. It's the story of God. And you don't get much bigger than that, do you? And we said that one of the things that we love is Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And so it's not just any old story. It is powerful. These words have powerful. They've impacted our lives, many of us, or they can impact your life. If you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I don't know what this news is, just tell me about it a bit more. The reality is that we believe that this powerful story is not just words, but it actually changes, transforms, and impacts our lives forever and ever and ever. And we've talked the last few weeks about sometimes the urgency that maybe we lack as we want to share this news. And we said, actually, we want to have a passion for the good news. You know, when people who are passionate, you know about it, don't you? You don't have to rock up to someone and ask them, oh, could you just explain to me, are you passionate about whatever it is? You go to a football match, or yesterday, go to the rugby match, and people are... You can tell when people are passionate, can't you? It's very difficult when your team wins, or even when your team loses. There is an expression of passion which is visible, it's apparent. And what we're saying is that actually, as followers of Jesus, we want to make sure that this good news is expressed passionately, and we want to do it boldly. We don't want to be ashamed. We want to be clear. And actually, for some of us, there is a renewing of our enthusiasm, our passion, our boldness, our courage to share the good news with those around us. And there's a lovely phrase for those of us who are messengers of the good news. There's a lovely phrase in Isaiah 52 that says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns." What a privilege for us to carry the message of hope, of truth, and of life to people. And I guess one of the things that I want to make sure that we are reminded of this morning is that we are these messengers of hope. I think I was 13 when I got my first delivery job. I got a paper round. Anybody in the room who had a paper round? You probably still can get paper rounds now, but this, I was delivering a newspaper which was in Ravenshead. I got £3.30 for delivering 162 papers. I subcontracted some of the work to my friends, so I only delivered 100 of them, and he delivered the other 62. But I remember those days well. And then I moved on from there, a little bit older. I became a delivery, not just delivery boy, but a delivery man, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. And I moved on from delivering papers, and I delivered lots of different things. I delivered flowers, I delivered roses. I remember one night at 10:30, I think it was 11 o'clock, leaving Kirkby, driving to London to make sure that these flowers that were fresh, they were going to go to the, is it Covent Garden? Is that where the flower, special flower places, depot, whatever it is? So these flowers had to be there for 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning so that they could be released across London. And I delivered those. And then the other thing that I remember in terms of being a delivery driver, so I must have been older than 17 because you're not supposed to drive, are you? Before then, I delivered the Queen's Christmas cards, everybody. So you know, sometimes there's that, you do that thing where you say, tell us something that nobody else knows about you. Well, you know that about me now, so I can't use that one. But I delivered the Queen's Christmas cards to Buckingham Palace. That's where they were delivered to. And I shared a tuna and cucumber sandwich with Her Majesty. No, I'm only joking. It was coronation chicken. No, that's not, that part's not true. But the messenger, the delivery boy part is true. But of course, we're not delivering newspapers, we're not delivering flowers, we're not delivering Christmas cards, but we are deliverers of a message, aren't we? Which is so important. I heard a great story that probably illustrates this well. And it was this. In the late 1940s, King George V was to be giving a special speech at a conference. And the message was going to be relayed by radio across America and other places too. Just as the broadcast was about to begin, a cable broke in the New York radio station that was the receiving place for the message coming in from London. And at that moment, more than 1 million people listening to the radio were thrown into silence. They couldn't hear the message. And seeing the problem, apparently, so the story goes, a junior mechanic, guy called Harold Vivian, solved the problem by picking up the two ends of the broken cables and then allowing the electrical circuit, I don't know how this works in terms of physics, but it sounds right, apparently it's true, so it really happened. Picks up both ends of the cable and allowed the current to flow through his body, and he literally became the living link from the message coming in from one place to the message that was going to be received across America. Apparently, interesting story. And so basically, he became the living, live link so that the message could be transmitted from one place to the other. And I love that story because it kind of represents, if you like, what we get to do as followers of Jesus. We have a message, we are holy messengers. And this morning, I want us to recognize that that is who we are. You know, sometimes we talk about our purpose, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that actually if you're a follower of Jesus and you're wondering what your purpose is, and of course there's many different purposes, but this is a really important one, that we are holy messengers and we have the responsibility and the privilege, of course, to share the good news. So we're holy messengers. But the other thing that I wanted to speak about this morning, and I think it's really important that we recognize that we are holy messengers. But also, the second thing, I feel like this is really important for us to be aware of, is that we're also kingdom carriers. And there's that sense that as well as bringing holy message, that actually we get to carry something of God's presence wherever we go. In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus kind of explains this. It says, on the final and climactic day of the feast, Jesus took his stand. He cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way." And I love the way that it's expressed in the Message translation. This essence, the sense that the water will brim and spill out, is a great picture, isn't it? And the Bible often talks about water as a metaphor for life, and of course that's what Jesus is explaining here. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we know what this means because we know what that looks like. We know what the parallels look like between the days when you're thirsty and you need a drink, and then you get a drink, and you know sometimes you're in that position. Maybe you've played some kind of sporting activity. Maybe like me yesterday, you'd had a bacon and a sausage cob, and they make you thirsty. But there's that sense of when you know that you're desperate for something, and the only way that to have that satisfied is to have a drink. Well, the analogy is the same, isn't it, spiritually? You know, we are naturally, without God, we are thirsty people. And sometimes we don't recognize what that actually looks like. We don't recognize that actually that's what we're missing. That's what we're needing. But actually, we need more than just a physical drink. We need a spiritual drink, don't we? And there's a great story as well in John chapter 4, and some of you will know it, where Jesus meets a woman at the well, and he explains this whole thing wonderfully to her as well, and they have this great dialogue and conversation about what it looks like to be receiving a spiritual drink that will make a difference, that won't run out, that will be springs of living water. And if you we talked about a couple of weeks ago, because we as a discipleship and care team, that's the team within the church that oversee and watch over the health of the church in terms of children and young people and across our life groups. We meet together regularly to watch over and to pray particularly for the church. That's one of the key things that we do. And we had this sense as we were praying together, we had this image, if you like, that we would be people who would provide water to one another so that we could then provide water. So we had this sense that people on the discipleship and care team who head up many of our teams within church, some great teams of people who help to run our kids' stuff, who help to run our young people's stuff, who help to look after 18 to 30s, high five to the 18 to 30s. And what we had this sense that actually as we get to drink something in, as we get to be carriers of God's blessing to ourselves, the purpose of that is that we also get to give it out. We get to pass out blessing to other people. And there was that sense that, you know how you bring a cup of water, you have some yourself, but then you can provide someone else with a cup of water. There was that sense that what we were doing was a multiplication thing, which sounds just like what happens in the kingdom of God. And Lucy had this, she remembered this story of Rebecca. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, it's actually a bit further on in the Abraham story, the account with Abraham and Isaac, and this great picture of Rebecca, Isaac's coming to choose a wife, and Rebecca steps forward, and he needs a drink, so she offers him a drink, but she also says, I'm not just going to give you a drink, I'm also going to give a drink to all of your camels. Do you remember us talking about this a couple of weeks ago? So you got this picture of Rebecca going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and actually providing water, not just, and Lucy was reminding us of how camels are probably some of the thirstiest creatures around. So to embark on providing water for thirsty camels was pretty significant. But there was that sense that actually we take water for ourselves, we receive for ourselves so that we can be carriers of the blessing of God. So what do we carry? Well, a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because it reminds us that actually, and we talked about this quite in depth last year, 12 months or so ago, we reminded ourselves that in the Old Testament, the presence of God was found in the tabernacle at first, and then in the temple. God provided the instructions, but they were man-made places where God's presence would dwell. And if you wanted to experience and know and come across God's presence, you knew where to go because these were the places. But of course, when Jesus came so wonderfully, then everything changed. And God's presence was not only to be found in man-made structures anymore, because what happened was the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit, we know it's true today, lives inside of us, and therefore God's presence dwells within us and amongst us. So individually it's true, but it's also true corporately. And what a wonderful piece of good news that actually we get to carry. So what do we carry? The answer is we get to carry God's presence. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The presence, or you could say the whole essence of God, lives within you and me. Do you know that you are a carrier? Did you know that this morning, that you are a carrier? And then in Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, it kind of makes, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he kind of makes the point, and he kind of just explodes it a little bit more. He says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all God's holy people. You're members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Amazing. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. This wonderful high view that the Apostle Paul has of the church. That individually, we are vessels, we are carriers of the Holy Spirit, but together as church, we get to carry the presence of God. It's where God dwells. I don't know what your view of church is this morning, but can I just say, let's make sure that we have the high view that God has, that actually this is the place that God chooses to dwell. And of course, it's not a building, praise God. It's actually us, the body of Christ, people, the family of God, where God chooses to dwell. We are carriers. And what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, last weekend, as we were together on Friday evening, many of us were here in the Ashwood Centre, and we had our friend Dwayne White from Texas, who was travelling around the UK, and we were privileged to have him here with us, and he spoke to us, and he shared a message that he does every year, and he describes what he is a word from God. So you'll understand that we recognize that some people carry the ability to hear God speak very clearly and to bring a message. And one of the things that he said, he was describing this word of God. He talked about what happens when heaven and earth collide. And he was sharing with us that he believed that actually in 2018 that we would see opportunities for God suddenly to have expressions where heaven and earth collide. And he explained brilliantly, but many of us will recognize that the way that this often works is there are things that we can see and there are things that we can't see. So there are things that we can see and we can touch around us physically here in the Ashwood Centre. We can see them this morning. But there's also a dimension that operates that we can't see, the spiritual realm. And one of the things that he explained and really clearly, and you can hear the message on the podcast if you want to go and look it up, or if you were here and you want to hear some of it again. He said that actually our job is to see the things that happen in the spirit, use this word manifest, which basically means appear or reveal here with us in the physical realm. And he gave an example for that in Luke chapter 13. It says, he was teaching in one of the meeting places on the Sabbath. There was a woman present, so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. She'd been afflicted with this for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her over. Woman, you're free. He laid hands on her, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. And what Dwayne was explaining was that actually everything that needs to happen, in this case, this is a suddenly where God's kingdom is revealed through healing, that all that needs to be done from a spiritual point of view is done. We've talked about this morning the wonder of the cross, And we know that everything that happened, everything that was required spiritually for people to be healed, both spiritually but physically as well, has been done. When Jesus died on the cross, as we've taught this morning through communion, he said, "It is finished." And literally, everything is finished. Everything was done that needed to be done. Victory over sin, victory over sickness, victory over fear, victory over anxiety, everything. It was done. It's part of the good news. So the battle is not, the battle that's going on is not whether or not this can be achieved or not. The battle has already been won. Jesus said it is finished. Our battle is to see the things that Jesus has done. Our battle is to see them manifest here physically, here on earth. That's why we've sung it this morning. We pray it. God, we say, let your kingdom come, your kingdom, the spirit kingdom, come here on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see the things that operate in the heavenly realms operating here on earth. And that's why in heaven, we know that there is no sickness, there is no fear, there is no anxiety. All the things that we know will be the case in heaven, and that's what we want to see operate here on earth. That's why we pray for people to be healed. And isn't it wonderful that this morning that we're talking about this in here, but the kids have been talking about it the last couple of weeks, talking about healing in our bodies. So if you're here this morning and you'd like children to pray for you to be healed, then I can encourage you after we finish in a few minutes to go next door and allow the kids to pray for you. They've been learning some stuff and we want to give them an opportunity to have a go, exercise their faith. And, you know, you'll be blown away, I'm sure, by the faith and the expectation and the simple attitude towards these things that kids have. So our battle is to see things manifest here on earth. And one of the things that, that Dwayne talked about, he said he could see sudden things happening. So he said there'll be some sudden revelations where people who have not seen things before will suddenly see things. He talked about angelic visitations where people will see and experience angelic hosts that will bring messages or bring gifts or highlight things. He talked about sudden restoration, things that required some being made new, being renewed, taking place in this year as we pray and we expect to see this happen. And he talked about a sudden release of power as well. And just that sense that actually when heaven and earth collide, something happens, something shifts, there is a difference. And this morning, I guess, my message is to remind us that we are holy messengers, but also to say, are you aware that we are also kingdom carriers? And if you're not aware, then it's good news for you this morning. But I believe that actually part of blessed to be a blessing means that we want to step into more of seeing the suddenlies that God has for us released. And it's great to hear this word from Dwayne. Those of you who are here, it was really significant and powerful in the evening. But I think it's important that we take hold of these things, we remind ourselves, and we allow God to stir us up. We've been praying to continue to do that in the future, in the days and the months to come. I'm going to invite Sam to come and share something with us this morning. Sam's got his fan club here with him this morning, and Sam will tell you himself, but just the real sense that God was speaking to him, and he's buzzing with things at the moment. And he wasn't here with us on the Dwayne night because up in Chesterfield, Dwayne's son Cody, who was also traveling with him, was speaking. So there was choices that night, wasn't there, Sam? And you went and listened to Cody, and God was speaking to you. And I just asked Sam to come and share because I think you'll see it fits really well with what we're talking about this morning.
So on the Friday when Dwayne was here, I went to Chesterfield with some of the youth, and Cody, Dwayne's son, was talking about seizing opportunities when they come to us. And I think we're all going to be victims of not seizing an opportunity when it comes to us, whether that's in everyday life or if we've got go on holiday and we meet someone new, we don't seize the opportunity to talk to them or get to know them very well. And one thing that Cody was saying was, or a story that Cody shared similar to what, or exactly the same as what Matt said this morning, was the story in John 4. And in verse 13, if I just get it up, just to reiterate what Matt says, it says, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." I mean, that's pretty amazing, saying that if we do listen to Jesus and get the water that he's going to give us, we will get eternal life. So that all kind of started off the theme of opportunities. And then throughout the week, there's been many times that it's cropped up again and again. So the Sunday following that, when we were praying, prayer came up about doors being opened up in front of us. And that, just in all, kind of, it sums up what is happening and whether we're going to step through that door or whether we're just going to let it open, we'll see it, and then we walk away from it. And that, again, links back to the woman at the well, where the woman walked up to Jesus, had no idea who it was, and just kind of stood there, had a normal conversation, and then had to ask him a few questions to actually believe it was Jesus. And then the youth that on the Sunday night, we're talking about building up the youth, bringing new people into the church, bring them into the different events that we put on, and then eventually just bringing them to church service on Sunday morning, which again is another opportunity that we can take by the grasp and just kind of share the word of God which we've got within us. The worship meeting that we had on Wednesday night this week, we at the end we started to pray, and something David Castellan said was that he gave the question, "Are we ready?" And that to a lot of people can mean a lot of different things, and it depends how you interpret it. As Christians, we'd probably interpret it as, "Are we ready to praise Jesus on Sunday morning?" Or, "Are we ready to share the word of God?" Or, "Are we ready to bring new people into the church?" But the way I interpreted it was, are we ready to seize the opportunities that God gives us? There are going to be a lot of open doors, whether that's short-term, mid-term, or long-term, but it's whether we're going to be bold enough, confident enough to take the opportunities when it comes to us. And the thing me and Matt were talking about this morning was the short-term opportunities. So the likes of what I was saying about the youth, bringing new people in. Again, we were talking about the vision of the worship team and how we're going to push forward, building a better environment to worship Jesus in. And that's that kind of short-term opportunities we're going to have to take. We're going to have to take in our hands and kind of grab it when it comes to us. And it's just crazy how it all kind of links together with what you were saying this morning, what Dwayne was saying, what Cody was saying, how the words kind of opportunities, seizing, readiness, suddenly, it just all kind of links into a theme. And it's crazy to think we're carriers and messengers of the word of God.
Yeah.
And there's so many opportunities that we just don't take. And I feel like God is saying that we need to have the confidence to kind of walk through the open doors and take the opportunities.
Brilliant. Really good. Really good. Thanks, Sam. That's very good, wasn't it? I love that. And Sam was buzzing with it, and I wanted you to benefit from him buzzing and his enthusiasm and his passion as he hears what God is speaking to him, which I felt fitted so well to the rest of us. Just this sense that everywhere he went, God was saying, there's going to be opportunities, there's going to be opportunities, there's going to be opportunities. So we're messengers and we're carriers. And as we close our meeting this morning, I'd love us just to pray that we would recognize who we are. First of all, I think it's so important. But secondly, that we would, if you like, we would commission one another to be carriers of God's presence wherever we go. I don't know what your plans are for tomorrow, but I'd love as we close and as we pray for us to join together and agree that whatever our tomorrow, whatever our Monday looks like, that we are going to be carriers of God's presence. Some of us will be going to work. Some of us will be meeting family and friends. Some of us will be find ourselves in school or college. I mean, what a great place to be carriers of God's presence into our schools and our colleges. And you just, but just as an aside, on your information sheet, you'll see that Ashfield School is about to receive hundreds of Gideon Bibles. A guy, John Foster, who some of you will know, he's been part of our meetings a number of times. He's got the opportunity to go into Ashfield School with Gideon Bibles. He'll be speaking in some assemblies. It's exciting. It's exciting news. Apparently, it's the first time in a number of years. So we can pray into that. And I think if you want to go in as well with him, I think there may be even opportunities for that. This talk to Janet, she's saying yes, so she knows something. But there's this sense that actually wherever we are, and of course there are things that we're involved with as church. You know, some of us had the privilege of praying on the streets. We do that once a month, healing on the streets, praying for people, an opportunity for us to be carriers of God's presence in terms of healing, other things that we get up to as church. But it's bigger than that, isn't it? It's actually carrying God, carrying the presence of God wherever we are. Why don't we stand together? We might show it another week, but in terms of the great stories of this week, some of you will know that there was a guy called Billy Graham who died this week. He was 99, he would have been 100 in November. Possibly one of the most significant evangelists, certainly in this era, but maybe some people saying, you know, even beyond that. Just this amazing man who carried the message of God, and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people filled stadiums and heard this gospel message. Some of you may have even had the privilege of seeing Billy Graham yourself. There's just that sense, and we'll show a small clip another time. But it just hit me this morning as we're talking about being holy messengers and kingdom carriers, that this man of God, and of course today we get the opportunity to thank God for Billy Graham and for his life and for the impact that he had on so many people, individuals around the world. But that actually we recognize that in this man, the legacy that lives on, his story that has impacted so many, recognize that he was a messenger from God, anointed, but also that he was a kingdom carrier. He was a conduit for bringing the transformation into people's lives. And so today, as we thank God for this man, it just seems very appropriate to me that actually we recognize and we honor and we thank God for an individual, but we also say, God, we want to be used, maybe in different ways to Billy Graham, but we want God to use us as holy messengers and kingdom carriers. And what I'd like us to do as we pray, I'd like you to just close our eyes for a moment. And those of us who are followers of Jesus, I'd like you just to imagine what your week looks like. And I'd like you to just allow God to just give you maybe a sudden revelation of what your week looks like as you carry God's presence wherever you go, as you carry the message, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I think that half of our battle is in our minds. We can't see it, and therefore we can't believe it. And sometimes in these moments, as we close our time together, that I just believe that God sometimes just wants to give us a vision, which sounds like it's a jargon word, isn't it? But really, it's just an image. It's just a picture of a preferred future that God has for us. And sometimes if we see that, then mentally, it joins up some of the gaps. So that tomorrow, why don't you just imagine for a moment what it looks like wherever you're going to be a holy messenger and a kingdom carrier. What does that look like for you? And of course, we've talked about blessed to be a blessing. We talked about bless and how we can serve people and how we can listen to people, how we can begin to pray for people. And that's all true and it's helpful. I want us to continue to do that. But let's just, in these moments, just allow the Holy Spirit to give us a picture of what it looks like this week for us to be holy messengers, kingdom carriers. Well, God, in these moments, we thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you're alive. Thank you that you're all living within us, amongst us. Thank you that we, many of us, have known the truth that we've celebrated this morning, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not just something that we want to reflect on Sundays. We want it to be brimming over. We want it to be spilling out and as making a mess throughout our week, the good news of Jesus Christ. And this morning, as we close our meeting this morning, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would do the things that only you can do, that you would cause us to have a revelation for those of us who need it, or a greater revelation, that we would recognize who we are and our purpose and what you've called us to be. For some of us this morning, there's a greater revelation of the gospel itself, the good news that provides us with salvation, that removes the separation from God, causes us to have a relationship with him. And for all of us, God, my prayer is that we would be kingdom carriers, that we would be the mechanism that you use for heaven and earth to collide. And our prayer is, God, that we would see the things that already exist in heaven would be manifest, would be revealed here on the earth. We receive all that you have for us, God, this morning, individually and corporately together as church. Help us be the people who are blessed so that we can be a blessing to those around us. And God, we pray for these Gideon Bibles that go into these schools, God. We pray that young people would pick up and would read and would come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ.
This is something I was reading this morning, which ties in with what Sam was saying. Look at me. This is in Revelation verse 3. Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me, call and open the door. I'll come right in and sit down and have supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to the conquerors. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches.